AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Hello, and welcome back to Movie Mike's Movie Podcast. I am your host, Movie Mike, and today I want to share with you my state of the cinema address because CinemaCon just went down, and there is movie news oozing out the butt that I want to break it all down for you in one episode because I do this every single year, and I love it. In the movie review, we'll be talking about the new action thriller Monkey Man, and in the trailer park, we have our first look at Joker Folie à Deux, a.k.a. Joker 2 with Joaquin Phoenix and Lady Gaga. This movie looks mouthwatering. That is me right now. So thank you for listening. Thank you for being subscribed. Shout out to the Monday Morning Movie Crew. And now, let's talk movies.
In a world where everyone and their mother has a podcast, one man stands to infiltrate the ears of listeners like never before in a movie podcast. A man with so much movie knowledge, he's basically like a walking IMDb with glasses. From the Nashville Podcast Network, this is Movie Mike's Movie Podcast.
CinemaCon is the largest and most important gathering of movie theater owners from around the world. Essentially, it is a pep rally for movie theaters and studios. Send all their big actors and directors to go hype up their projects and reassure theater owners that, hey, we have a lot of good stuff coming. Let's keep this relationship good. And for the most part, that is all who is there. Theater owners and people with the studio, actors, all the big time actors go to now, which is awesome. But for the first time, I saw like influencers and podcasters there. Let me just check my mailbox. Yeah, I didn't get my invitation in the mail, even though I do an episode about CinemaCon every single year. Hey, maybe they just opened it up. Let me check one more time. No, there's nothing there. Okay, maybe next year. I'm going to start looking into this because this is the event of my dreams, much like Comic-Con, which I've also never been to, is a big hype up for comic book titles and comic book related movies coming out. This is just all the big studios. I'm talking Universal, Warner Brothers, Paramount, Lionsgate, they're all there to promote their movies. And a lot of the times they show trailers that aren't even out yet. They're just showing them to movie theater owners. And then we get them eventually. So as somebody from just the public, it's like, oh man, I want to see all this stuff too. So it would be amazing for me to be able to go. So what I want to get into first is what I believe is the state of the cinema after some of the opening statements came out, which is something they usually do in the first day of a multiple day event. So here is what I took away from this, my state of the cinema address. Thank you. Oh, that's good. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the state of the cinema address. I am your resident movie guy, Movie Mike. A very unpredictable box office, but We are off to an improvement over where we thought we were going to be overall. The thing is, everybody keeps comparing things to pre-COVID numbers, 2019 being seen as one of the best years that we've had in a very long time. And it's going to be hard to get back to that. And in the presentation they opened up CinemaCon with, they were talking about how to get people back into the theaters and really make it an experience that you're not going to get at home, because after COVID, viewing habits really changed. And I think people just also changed the way they view any kind of media. To me, you have to convince people that it's not just a file that you click on, because at home, you just open up Netflix, you open up Max, and that is essentially what you're doing. There is a file stored on a server and you are hitting play, and then you're just standing in front of something and taking in that information. What needs to change is the studios and movie theater owners need to find a way to elevate something new that you can't get at home. And movie theaters really dropped the ball on this. And I love going to the theater. For me, it's enough just to have that experience of seeing it on a big screen in a dark room, getting some of the ambiance, being there with other people. That is enough for me. But for other people who think, well, I don't want to go be around people. I don't want any external noises or distractions. That could be somebody crumpling something in their purse or texting. I could just do that at home. And even though I love that experience, I find that theaters really dropped the ball on even having some place in the theater where you can take a picture that's worthy of posting on social media. Just a little social media stop. And not to say that a little background and cool little interactive thing is going to bring in millions of dollars. No, but at least it's something that somebody who maybe hasn't been to a movie in a while can see, take a picture with it, they post it online, and somebody else sees that and thinks, oh, I didn't know that movie was out. Let me go check it out. And word of mouth is really how these movies continue to generate money past that first opening weekend. And that is so important, because that is kind of how studios base how successful a movie is going to be, because there is such a rapid drop between that first and second weekend ticket sales. So the other thing I think studios and movie theaters need to do is create some kind of item that you can only get that opening weekend. And I've seen a couple of movie franchises do it well. Pokemon back in the day, even again with Pokemon Detective Pikachu, they had exclusive cards that you would get, and it was a limited supply. And when you buy that ticket and go to the theater to see it, you would get that card. I still have mine from the one back in the 90s. I still have mine from Detective Pikachu. If you watch on YouTube, you can see it in the background. Or if it's a Marvel movie, comic books are huge. Number one issues are what comic book collectors crave. Why not put out a comic book that you can only get by going to see that movie opening weekend? And of course, this ties in easy with all of the nerdy stuff. But you even have to go a step further, and any kind of movie that comes out, have those first week incentives or something that you can only experience that first weekend. Another cool thing I saw from CinemaCon is they were showcasing what they are going to have in certain movie theaters for Twisters, which is coming out this summer. And it's one of those weather simulation things that I think they've had them before, like hurricane simulators. You get in and it blows wind around. It's just a fun little thing. Things like that are what need to be the primary focus moving forward, to create some kind of fun environment, some fun element that you can only get by going to the theater. Otherwise, we're seeing people are just waiting until these movies go on to streaming for a majority of them, because it's expensive. I see it doing this podcast because obviously I go every single week to see what is new, but I find a lot of you who listen, sometimes you don't get exposed to those movies until they go onto a streaming service, because then I see another influx of people saying, oh, I finally checked this out because it was on Netflix, because it was on Max, which is still great, because really you want to make a movie that people see eventually. A lot of my favorite movies I never saw in theaters, but still go on to live forever. But when you're in the business of making money, especially right now, you need those movies to have big box office revenue that opening weekend. So that is essentially what they talked about in the opening of CinemaCon, is how can theaters work together to create that. One of the quotes was saying, we don't necessarily have to put espresso machines in the lobby. Well, maybe you do. You got to put something in there and cut down the prices. Goodness. Sometimes you see how much a large popcorn is and you're like, I could go and get a full-blown meal for that cost. So I also think they should create some kind of food pass like some MLB parks have. They should do that too, probably. That would also get families back into going to the theater. And it's all about creating that exclusive event that we all crave on social media. That if somebody posts that they go to this event and you're not there, you feel left out. They don't have that right now. As soon as they can figure that out, I think it'll be on the upward trend for some of the movies that are kind of on the borders of being successful, but also being a bomb. Because you're always going to have these really big, impactful movies that people are going to go see no matter what. The Barbies, the Oppenheimers, that really don't even need that much promotion because of either the plot, the director, or the cast. That those movies are just going to succeed on their own. But then you have some of these kind of hanging on to the fringes that really need some other element to take it over the top. So that has been the state of the cinema. And now I just want to get into all of the big announcements that happened at CinemaCon that have me excited. Starting with the first one that has me the most excited, the movie I've been waiting to be announced for so long now. I can't even believe that I'm finally getting to say this. There is now a live-action, R-rated Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie in the works at Paramount. This is the best movie news I've read in years, because I told you guys how much I've really gotten into comics, in particular reading graphic novels. And this movie is based on one of my favorite graphic novels of all time that I talked about on this podcast. If I could see any graphic novel be turned into a movie, it would be this one, because how much I love the Ninja Turtles and know how darker and grittier their story can be. Even if you go back to that original Ninja Turtles movie, it doesn't really feel like a kid's movie. It is very violent. There are some undertones that feel just way more adult than they should be. And I've been saying with, you know, Deadpools and Wolverine from 2017, there needed to be an R-rated Ninja Turtles movie. And I thought the only hurdle it had to overcome was that TMNT is really seen as being family friendly, especially with last year's animated movie being such a success. But I think that movie probably paved the way for this movie to happen, because they did also announce at CinemaCon they're making a sequel to that movie. It'll come out in a few years. But you have that one for families, and then you're going to have this Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles The Last Ronin for adults. Much like in DC, you have the more family-friendly Batman, and then you have movies like Joker. But the movie is coming to us from producer Walter Hamada. Tyler Burton Smith is going to write the screenplay. If you're not familiar with the story, haven't read the graphic novel like I have, even though I highly recommend it, it is a dark TMNT tale about revenge set in a dystopian future in New York City. The story follows the last remaining Ninja Turtle, who is out to avenge the death of his brothers by killing the grandson of Shredder. So by reading the book, you find out which of the brothers it is, and it just has such great action. So this movie is going to go beyond all of the wackiness of the Turtles and give us a gritty, R-rated movie that I cannot wait for. Because just imagine all of their weapons that from movie one in the 90s to movie two, they had to stop using because kids were hitting their brothers and sisters with makeshift staffs. They were getting hurt and the Turtles were being blamed for it. So in Secret of the Ooze, they really stripped away their weapons and allowed them to use things like sausages and other random objects to beat people up. But now, in The Last Ronin, it's gonna get bloody. I would say the second moment that I was the most surprised by that was announced at CinemaCon is they dropped more details on the Michael Jackson biopic, which I rarely get excited for biopics when it comes to movies based on anybody in music. It is one of my least favorite genres of movie because it's hard to make a single film about somebody's entire career, especially when they are icons. You get 2 to 2.5 hours to tell a story that spans at times decades. It's really hard to do. And what you often get is a story that glosses over a lot of important details. And they introduce somebody who goes from nothing, and then all of a sudden, in about 2 scenes, they are right there at the top. And then oftentimes their family or somebody very close to them has a lot of input on it. So you're not getting the full story. You're not getting all the gritty details that you really need to be able to see to flesh out a character as complex as Music Icons. So when this movie was first announced by Lionsgate, I wasn't super interested in it, but we really haven't had a biopic on somebody so massive probably since Bohemian Rhapsody came out, and that's been a while now. Yeah, we've had Bob Marley, the Amy Winehouse movie is coming out later this year. We had the Whitney Houston movie, so don't come at me in the comments saying we haven't had one at all. But to have somebody with such a big story and is so world famous and have music that everybody knows, with also his real life nephew portraying him, this one is probably going to make a lot of money. But what I was surprised about is all the reviews that came in from people at CinemaCon saying after they showed the first footage of this movie, the theater erupted in applause. That the movie is going to feature over 30 songs, recreating a lot of Michael Jackson's most iconic performances, saying that so far the footage looks really good. It's coming out in theaters next April in 2025. People are saying that Jafar Jackson looks just like his uncle, and also that the movie is apparently pretty lengthy. They didn't say exactly what the runtime is going to be, but if they're calling a biopic lengthy, I would assume it's getting up there in the 3-hour mark. I just wonder, with Michael Jackson, how much are they going to get into all of the controversies? Because there's a lot there. And obviously, you want to make it focused on the music and the impact he had on the world. But if you're making a movie about somebody who has a very checkered past, to say the least, I feel like you have to include it all. Otherwise, it's going to feel like a bit of a ripoff. And the third thing that I was most hype about from CinemaCon was they had the first look at a John Wick spinoff called Ballerina, which stars Ana de Armas, which I kind of forgot she was in John Wick, and I had to be reminded of that. But Keanu Reeves was there as well, and he is also going to have a small cameo in this movie because it takes place between John Wick Chapter 3 and John Wick Chapter 4. It follows her character on a journey to also become a legendary assassin. And the news from CinemaCon is it matches the same slick style that John Wick has, slick visuals, over-the-top action sequences, and then, of course, you get Keanu Reeves as John Wick back in this movie, which I feel they're going to make every kind of spin-off from John Wick. You have the series going on. You have now these side characters getting their own movies. I think I'm excited about this because I love a female-led action movie. It reminds me of Kill Bill, which is one of the best of all time. And I think with a style like the John Wick style to match that is a movie that's going to be really fun and nonstop action. Now we'll run through some more of these. Now that I told you the big three that I was the most excited about, there was just so much news that I just want to run through more of these so you are aware of all the things going down in movies right now. But speaking of Keanu Reeves, Lionsgate showed the first footage from a new movie with Aziz Ansari called Good Fortune that also stars Keanu Reeves. What this movie is about, Aziz Ansari is visited by Keanu Reeves' character, who is an angel. Aziz's character has been down on his luck, and he decides to switch places with a really wealthy man played by Seth Rogen. The situation doesn't really work out quite as expected, as Gabriel loses his wings, making him human again and leading him to become Seth Rogen's roommate. The funny thing about this that Aziz Ansari shared is that Keanu Reeves was actually hurt on the set of this movie after tripping on a rug. And out of all the movies he's done, like John Wick, where he notoriously does his own stunts, it was him tripping on a rug in a comedy that led him to fracturing his kneecap. Aziz said, quote, "About 15 days into shooting with me, I said, 'Go chill in your trailer.' He tripped on a rug. Poor guy. He was such a trooper, and he fractured his kneecap and continued to do all the scenes." Doesn't get a scratch in all four John Wick movies. Even dating back to movies like Speed, he's all A-okay. But all it took was a rug to take him out. But to his credit, he'd never had to go to the hospital. The movie also stars Sandra Oh and Kiki Palmer. There is no official release date yet, but that sounds pretty funny. Keanu Reeves as an angel. Aziz Ansari probably just kind of playing himself, hanging out with Seth Rogen. I'm into that. Also announced at CinemaCon, Halle Berry is going to star in her first horror film in over 20 years. It's called Never Let Go. Played a trailer where Berry plays a single mother protecting her twin sons as terrifying creatures lurk outside of their home in a post-apocalyptic world. Apparently, you see them and her two kids living in the woods for 10 years without electricity. And Halle Berry said that she learned how to skin a squirrel in real life in order to prepare for this role. But again, this horror movie with Halle Berry is called Never Let Go. It comes out in theaters on September 27th. Jason Blum of Blumhouse was out at CinemaCon, and he said that they are reimagining the Blair Witch Project for a new generation. The plot details are being kept under wraps, but it's being described as a new vision that will introduce the horror classic to a new generation. A very kind of generic statement, which they have made new Blair Witch movies since the original one that freaked us all out because we all thought it was a documentary. We thought what happened in the Blair Witch actually happened in real life. But that movie was one of the most profitable movies of all time because of that word of mouth, because it took almost nothing to make, and that movie was all marketing. It's really not that scary of a movie if you watch it without that context. There's really maybe one or two freaky scenes, but without that element of, oh, did this actually happen? It's really not that scary. The original film is about three filmmakers who disappear in the Maryland woods while making a documentary about the supposed Blair Witch, and it came out back in 1999. I don't really have interest to watch another Blair Witch movie because I don't think they can recapture that energy of what made that movie great. You do it again in 2024 or whenever this movie is supposed to come out, not really going to have that same appeal. They also announced from Blumhouse that a sequel to Five Nights at Freddy's is expected to come out in the fall of 2025. I'm going to give that one a second chance. I really drug the first one through the mud, and in turn, everybody in the YouTube comments called me an idiot. So I'm not going to go back and rewatch that movie or play the game to get more educated on it, but I will give the second one a try. They also announced that they are coming out with a Now You See Me 3. The original cast is going to return. The first one was okay. Pretty good cast. But the second one was so dumb. I was rewatching it the other day. And by the other day, I mean sometime last year. And anytime you introduce a secret twin that nobody knew about, that was the worst plot line in any movie I've seen of that caliber. So I'm not really chomping at the bit to see a Now You See Me 3. Also announced was Margot Robbie's production company, which is called Lucky Chap, is working with Hasbro to come out with a Monopoly movie. Now, when it was first announced that they were making a Barbie movie, I probably had the similar reaction that I have right now to Monopoly, but obviously Barbie made so much sense once we all saw it. But I'm finding it really hard to think, how are you going to make a Monopoly movie? Because Barbie is at least a figure with a personality. What are you going to make it about, the Monopoly man? Don't pass go, don't collect $200. I can't wait to see what they end up doing with that one. We also had more big news from Paramount. They dropped the first trailers for Transformers 1, which is the animated Transformers movie. They also dropped the trailer for Sonic 3. You had Chris Hemsworth, Scarlett Johansson, Brian Tyree Henry all there, because last year at CinemaCon is when they first announced that they were going to be making an animated Transformers movie. So they brought them all back to reveal the first footage. We obviously didn't get to see it yet. All they released online was the logo, which was animated. Doesn't really tell you a whole lot about the aesthetic or what the Transformers are actually going to look like. One really big series right now in comics is the Transformers series, and I hope it kind of matches that, because the design in that is so much different than the cartoon and also the movies. So maybe along the same way that they had success with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, that is what they are trying to achieve with Transformers, which are all kind of in the same world, based on comic books, based on cartoons, rooted in toys. So I can't wait to actually get to see the trailer for that. That's the other thing that bugs me a little bit about CinemaCon, is we don't get to see all the trailers until much later. So that's why I want to go. Paramount also announced the release date for Smile 2. It's coming out this year on October 18th. The movie follows a pop star and how the curse spreads amongst her fans. I'm into that. It kind of reminds me of Swarm on Amazon, which is about a really rabid fan base similar to Beyonce's fan base. That was a very dark and gritty and twisted show. And just the idea of having somebody that people worship and then that person spreads some things among to her fans, that sounds cool. They're also making a new scary movie, which we really don't get parody movies anymore, pretty much because they're pretty awful. They haven't been good since the 70s and 80s. And then, of course, with the first original scary movies. But those spawned a really bad trend of bad parody movies. So they'll probably just get a bunch of random celebrities to be in that. A really weird announcement that I didn't know anything about is that Kendrick Lamar, yes, the rapper, and South Park creators Trey Parker and Matt Stone are working on an untitled musical. It's coming out in theaters on July 4th, 2025. The movie follows the story of a young black man interning as a slave reenactor at a living history museum, and he discovers that his white girlfriend's ancestors once owned his. I had no idea that these two people were working together. I am a huge Trey Parker and Matt Stone fan for what they did with South Park and the South Park movies. They also did a bunch of lower budget independent movies. They had some decent success with Basketball, even though it didn't do so well at the box office. But where they really shine are musicals. They created the award-winning Book of Mormon, which I really would love to see. They also, with South Park Bigger and Longer and Uncut, that movie in the 90s, that was one of the greatest animated musicals of all time. So to see them teaming up with Kendrick Lamar, I can't wait to see what that looks like. Disney was out on day three, didn't really make any big announcements, but they had a lot of first looks at some new movies. The one I'm probably the most interested in is Captain America Brave New World. We had the first look of Harrison Ford as Thunderbolt, asking Anthony Mackie's Captain America to rebuild the Avengers. Sounds pretty good. That's about all we know of the plot of the new Captain America movie. It's coming out in theaters on February 14th, 2025. They apparently played some of the footage online. They released a couple stills. Don't really say a whole lot. It's mainly Anthony Mackie and Harrison Ford hanging out in some kind of maybe boardroom, maybe Oval Office type situation. But honestly, the stills were a little bit boring, and there needs to be more hype on this movie because I didn't really love the Disney Plus series, and it's going to be really hard to make a Captain America movie without Chris Evans. So come on, Disney, I need a little bit more hype here. They also shared the first 9 minutes of Deadpool and Wolverine, and I started reading and listening to some people talk about what they saw and experienced during these first 9 minutes. And then I realized, I don't want to know anything else about this movie. Sometimes when comic book movies come out, people just try to find every single detail about them. And then when you go watch the movie, you're not surprised by anything. The only thing I'll say is it seems like what they showed was pretty much what you see inside of the trailer. That's all I need to know. And they did share another look at Wolverine. They released the cups that they're going to be selling in theaters. And honestly, it looks kind of weird. And I told you guys, I wasn't a big fan of the suit whenever it was first revealed with Hugh Jackman wearing it. I thought it looked too much like a motocross motorcycle suit. And even the cup with Wolverine next to Deadpool. Deadpool looks normal, but for Wolverine, it almost looks like a bad PlayStation 3 character. So hopefully it looks a lot better in the actual movie. One of the most underwhelming things Disney said is they were talking about Mufasa, the Lion King movie coming out on December 20th of this year. And they said, hey, we're using the same technology as we did in 2019. They released a still of this movie as well, and it looks exactly the same. So hopefully the story is really powerful there, because as good as that movie looked, it didn't really feel like a live action Lion King movie to me, because you really can't do that. And I wasn't in love with the style. I don't really feel like it brought life to the story like the 2D animation did back in the 90s. So hopefully there's something different that they're doing with that movie to come out and say, yeah, it's just the same kind of technology we used in 2019. Okay, then why are you making this movie? The Rock was also there and talked about Moana 2, which is coming out even before the Lion King movie. It's coming out this year on November 27th, which was kind of a surprise announcement. maybe they weren't planning on releasing it so soon, but people got to hear a sneak peek at one of the songs. And in some of the footage, you see Moana on her boat returning home singing this song with the lyrics that go, "Finally, we're back to who we are meant to be." You have the villager singing along with her. One of the villagers sings a synopsis of Moana's story from the original film. Then Moana races her dad in a boat race. She wins and lands on the beach of her home island as the song finishes. Moana 1 goes hard, and it took me a little bit to get into that movie and realize how hard it actually went. So hopefully they have some other bangers in Moana 2. But yeah, nothing really big announced from Disney. They're really just trying to hype out everything they have coming out this year and early next year. Few more things to get to here. Bong Joon-ho, who is the director of Parasite. He also did movies like Snowpiercer. Him and Robert Pattinson were at CinemaCon showing off footage of Mickey 17, which is the new sci-fi movie, and his follow-up to Parasite. It was originally supposed to come out this year, but they delayed it to January 31st, 2025. They showed the trailer, which hasn't been released to the public yet, but apparently it looks awesome. It's being described as a really great sci-fi film and a simple man's story. Robert Pattinson plays a common man named Mickey with a nerdy American accent who signs up to be an expendable in the future. He travels to distant planets and space stations doing handiwork, but the caveat is that he is expected to die doing these difficult missions. Each time he dies, a new clone is made and then given a new assignment. The title of the movie draws from this as he dies 17 times in the plot. Everything goes well with Mickey getting eaten and chopped up into different pieces across space. Things take a turn when two clones get made at the same time, Mickey 17 and Mickey 18. Sounds like a lot of fun. When it comes from Bong Joon-ho, it's probably going to have this other crazy psychological element. But I love everything Robert Pattinson does. I'll watch anything Bong Joon-ho puts out, whether it be in Korean, whether it be in English. I don't care. He is such a great director and a true visionary. And finally, we saw some delays announced at CinemaCon. The Crow is now releasing on August 23rd. And as you remember from last week's episode, this is the movie I'm boycotting. And maybe the boycott is now starting to affect the release date. It's really not. It just happens to be. I put out that episode last week, and then a couple of days later, this news gets announced. But really, it's because Lionsgate is kind of switching up some other release dates. They're trying to space out the Saw movies because Saw 10 came out last year and Saw 11 was supposed to come out this year, but now they are moving that to September 26th, 2025. All right, we'll come back. I'll give you my thoughts on Monkey Man. And in the trailer park, which was also announced at CinemaCon, we're going to break down the Joker 2 trailer and all the hidden things that you maybe missed.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
Let's get into it now. A spoiler-free movie review of Monkey Man, starring and directed by Dev Patel, who you would probably be most familiar with him from Slumdog Millionaire. And this is a movie that has a pretty inspirational story. It wasn't even going to see the light of day until Jordan Peele, who is one of my favorite directors, known for movies like Get Out, Us, Nope. He saw this movie, was so moved by it. His production company, Monkey Paw Productions, picked up the movie, got it in theaters. And for me, even though I am a fan of Dev Patel's work, it was having that Jordan Peele stamp of approval that really sold me on this movie. And it's that association that people have seeing a poster. You see it's directed by Dev Patel, but you also see Jordan Peele's name up on that poster. So it's like, okay, I know that name. I associate it with these other great movies. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that is kind of what I am expecting here. So that is initially what had me excited about this movie. But after the first trailer, I thought this is something I would have watched even if it didn't have the Monkey Paw Productions name to it. But what this movie is about, you have a guy played by Dave Patel who is kind of an unnamed character, and he is competing in this underground fight club where his job is to lose. The promoter he is working with essentially puts him against these other really vicious fighters, and even though he could probably beat them, how he makes his money is really going through three rounds with that fighter, getting people to bet on it, and he gets a very small amount of money for doing so. He's really just barely getting by, which the movie has a lot to do with the class system, the rich and the poor, which I'll get into a little bit later, but he is just struggling with that. And he has this really deep rage inside of him. And what I loved about this movie and how they developed this story is they don't put everything up front. You go watch a movie like this, and oftentimes you get this entire character's story in the first 20 minutes. You learn all the things that go wrong in his life. How this movie sets itself apart is it really just drops him into that world of the underground fight club. You see he's getting beaten so bloody, there's stuff coming out of his mask. But you don't really know why he has this rage inside of him. And obviously something very traumatic has happened in his life. Essentially, he has had every single thing taken away from him from the elite of where he is living in India. And those elite have caused him so much pain in his life and really kept him down there at the bottom that you find him at a moment where he becomes a man with a plan. And he's going to take all this rage that has been building inside of him for all these years, the really awful thing that happened to him when he was younger, which you start to uncover, and really just go after these people. So some of the things you learn early on, which I don't want to spoil, but you see some of the actual physical things that have happened to him that he is dealing with. His hands are scorched. There's nothing on his hands, and they're just blank, where you should have all these designs and marks in your hands. He has nothing, and you don't really know why. You see bits of his childhood in these flashbacks, which I really enjoyed, because it's kind of like uncovering a little puzzle, a very dark, sinister puzzle as you watch the movie. As he is advancing in real time, you are learning as the viewer about his past, which I think is a really great way to do it, because it could be kind of boring to put that all in the first 10, 15 minutes. And it feels weird and disjointed when you start with that. You want to start with the good stuff. And then learning it that way, it makes it so much more significant and impactful, especially when later in the movie you really find out exactly what happened, exactly why he is the way he is. It's able to build up so much more tension and just feels like, oh, okay, I get it now. And now I'm ready to get to the final act of this movie. So what he tries to do is develop a plan to infiltrate the people who ripped everything away from him. And how he does that, he mixes with his job at that underground fight club and then a really devious plan that he comes up with to reach some of those people in power. And I just think that part was really cool. The first 20 minutes of this movie develops a lot of curiosities. It had me just wondering exactly what was going on. Also, the style of filmmaking was very different. It took me a little bit to get used to. But after I kind of understood the pacing of it, realized that they weren't going to tell you everything up front, it really made me enjoy it because it felt like something different, which is something I just struggle to find when going to watch movies this year. We've had a lot of duds. We've had a lot of things that just feel very repetitive. This felt like a breath of fresh air, especially in a genre where you don't really get that. In primarily a straight-ahead action movie with some thrills along the way, oftentimes it's very by the book, very textbook. It's usually just you introduce the bad guy, you're following the good guy. You want good guy to beat bad guy. But it was a much different path to that that our character took in Monkey Man to face his demons. And what I would say is the most comparable movie to Monkey Man has to be John Wick, because John Wick is all about getting revenge, redemption, all those things, that vengeance, you know, because in John Wick, they kill his dog, and the entire plot line of John Wick is him killing all the people responsible for killing his dog. And in that first John Wick movie, the action obviously set it apart. It was so much more brutal, over the top, and pretty much nonstop. Very little plot line. It was all about the crazy stunt performances, all of the guns and crazy weapons that John Wick would use. And then later in 2 and 3 and 4, they realized that that's what people loved about those movies. And they really almost eliminated all other plot lines and just said, let's get to the action. Let's get to the bullets flying. Let's get to Keanu Reeves fighting people the entire time. So you have that same element in Monkey Man. It's not as nonstop action. I would say there are even moments in this movie where you forget it's an action film. It just feels like a full-on drama. But when it does ramp up, it is very, very similar to John Wick in that style. But the other way it's similar to John Wick is being an action movie where the star hits rock bottom. Because oftentimes in American action movies, your hero is bulletproof. Nothing hurts him. He doesn't lose a battle along the way. He just comes in, beats all of his opponents, and just tries to work his way up to that final boss. But in John Wick and in Monkey Man, you see our hero hit rock bottom. You see them get hurt. You see them at their bloodiest, at their most broken, and you realize that they are not these bulletproof people, that nothing hurts them, that they can take down and defeat anybody. And by doing that, it makes it so much more impactful when that hero rises again and it builds up that energy to overcome the hardest of obstacles, because you have to be able to take the audience to lows to reach those highs. And I compare this to one of the most popular action stars, The Rock, who has a clause that he can't lose a fight on screen. How is your hero not going to lose a fight? How are you not going to allow your character to be vulnerable and show that they are able to be defeated and have to come back from that? That is the reason I believe that Black Adam failed so badly, is because there was never really anything to overcome. His character was just fighting people the entire time, didn't have any problem, no character development. But in movies like John Wick and now in Monkey Man, you have that character development because you follow them along more like if this was happening to you. If everything was taken away from you and you decided one day you just wanted to develop a plan to fight back, because in life, you're gonna have the crap kicked out of you. Hopefully just figuratively and not literally, but you gotta get back up. And what this movie did also really well was incorporate some really well-defined cinematography to put you inside of that action. There were some really great camera movements that really felt like I was right there along in some of the chase scenes and some of the fight scenes. There were also some really great uses of special effects that I feel like were somewhat comparable to like a horror movie, because the same way that John Wick has some brutal kill scenes, this one does the same thing, that I get squeamish whenever somebody gets stabbed. It's just uncomfortable for me to watch. Out of all the things, I can't watch people get stabbed, because my head goes to, if I got stabbed, I don't even know how I would react. And also broken bones. I can't do broken bones. If anybody breaks a bone in a movie, or even I'll just be scrolling TikTok sometimes and somebody, it's like a bone break skateboarding video, I cannot watch those. And as desensitized as I am to violence, just becomes the norm to me. Anything R-rated just becomes the norm to me. You break a bone and I'm out. But there were some moments in this movie that were really hard to watch because they involved stabbing and breaking bones. But I feel like to get that emotion out of me is a hard thing to do. So especially in an action movie where I've really seen it all and nothing really sticks out, things stuck out in this movie. In particular, bones stuck out. And what this movie felt like was a modern folktale. because even though it takes place in the real world, there are some moments where you kind of have to forget about reality a little bit and think, okay, I see how this could happen. And then I also think that Monkey Man gave us one of the best training sequences since Rocky, which is another thing that's really hard to do. But there is a sequence in the movie where he is training. Punching a big bag of rice was very reminiscent of Rocky hitting the big old slab of raw meat. And that moment was very inspirational to me because it incorporated a lot of elements of Monkey Man's culture. And it felt like an ode to Rocky, but also showing that we're going to take something that is so American, but put our spin to it. Because this movie is also important for representation. You hardly see an actor like Dev Patel have the lead in a movie like this. So above everything else, that was the most inspirational thing for me to see, for him not only to star in this movie, but also be behind the camera and for his directorial debut, totally crushed it. Because it's a hard thing to do, to take a movie like this where your character is supposed to be seen as heroic. I feel like you could make your character look like it would, like The Rock, like so invincible and so cool and so awesome all the time, which there are some moments in that training sequence where he does look like that. Takes off his shirt, everybody's so impressed. But it doesn't do it in a way that feels overly egotistical, which is a fine line to walk when you are the director and star of a movie, because what you say goes, and what ends up on the screen is highly reliant on you. But he did it in a way that felt very humble and very much like he really cared about the overall filmmaking process. He didn't really do this movie as a vanity project. I wanted to leave the theater, immediately go to the boxing gym, and just tear it up for 45 minutes. I was so inspired by it. But again, I don't want to give the impression, if you haven't seen it, that it's just nonstop, senseless action. There are moments that take away from all of that. I would argue there's a little bit of a lull. The film was under 2 hours, which I feel is the sweet spot for a big thriller action movie like this. Although I did kind of feel the runtime a little bit. Maybe it was just in that second to third act, there was like 20 or 30 minutes where it kind of lost momentum for a movie that started out so strong, really got to the story, really dove into the action once it was there. For a minute, I kind of wondered how they were going to land the plane. And if it wasn't for having such a strong ending, I feel like I kind of would have dipped out there in the middle. But overall, a great movie, especially if you're into action movies like John Wick. One that I feel enhanced my enjoyment of it, of actually seeing it in the theater. But I could see a movie like this once it goes to streaming. Maybe one of the big streamers picks it up. I feel this will have a much better life on streaming. So I don't necessarily think you need to run to the theater to watch it, because I almost think watching it at home, you'll get that same effect. But overall, I give it a strong 4 out of 5 Gorilla Masks.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
It's time to head down to Movie Mike's Trailer Park.
Joker is one of my favorite R-rated movies of all time. I just lean towards the darker stories when it comes to comic book movies. And I thought the first one nailed it. And the only trepidation I had going into the sequel is the fact that it's going to be a jukebox musical. I didn't exactly know what that was going to look like. I speculated. And after seeing this trailer now, it looks like the speculation I had was actually pretty accurate. And it all makes sense now. So I told you guys, I'd be wrong to question director Todd Phillips. And I love the statement he put out when the trailer dropped saying that the movie doesn't really veer too far from the original film, although the music is a very essential element. The tone of the movie is very much matched by the first one, which I think is great. And he even thanked movie theater owners. This has also happened at CinemaCon, saying thank you for keeping the first Joker in theaters, because at that time in 2019, there was a lot of unrest in the country. And not to say 5 years later that everything has been solved, but I can see why a movie like Joker is not for everybody. It's very dark. There is even a warning now if you go watch it on YouTube. I first watched it when it dropped on Tuesday night of last week, and there wasn't a warning. But the next day on Wednesday, when you'd go watch it, and probably if you still go watch it now, you have to click yes, because it says warning to users that it may contain suicide or self-harm topics. So that even tells you further that if you don't like seeing things related to that, do not watch this movie. The first one was made on a budget of $55 million. This one has stepped it up to $200 million. And that first one was so profitable because it did have that $55 million budget and went on to gross over $1 billion. Will this one do the same? It's hard to say. Movies have been so weird with numbers at the box office right now, but I feel like with the hype that the first one had, and there was some worry of what that was going to be, and then people at that time still even questioned whether or not Joaquin Phoenix could pull off the Joker. But now we all know that Joaquin Phoenix does great in this role. He won his Oscar, and now we have him joined by Lady Gaga. What I love most about this trailer, before I even play a clip of it, is a great trailer doesn't show you beginning, middle, and end of a movie. That is actually the sign of a bad trailer. If you watch a trailer and you really know the entire story by the end of that 2.5 minutes, that is going to be a not great movie. It could still be enjoyable, still be entertaining, but if you put that much information in a trailer, you're not betting on your storytelling, and you're really selling more of a product than a piece of art, which not all movies are art. But for something like Joker and this trailer, you really just get the vibe of the story. You get the tone of it. There's still not a whole lot out there about the plot. I've pieced together a lot of things watching this trailer now a few times, so I'll go through some of those things. But above all, it really just shows you how they're going to incorporate the musical elements Lady Gaga is going to look like as Harley Quinn, and then how it kind of picks up right at the end of Joker Part 1. And that brings us to the title. It's not called Joker 2. It's called Joker Folie à Deux, which translates to Madness for Two. So in the first one, it was about Arthur Fleck's descent into madness by himself. But now it looks like he meets Lady Gaga's character, who she is playing Harley Quinn. Looks like her origin story is much different. They are meeting in Arkham Asylum. They fall in love and escape, is essentially what I have pieced together from this trailer. Before I get into more what I think about Joker Folie à Deux, here's just a little bit of the trailer.
Hey Fleck, you got a joke for us today?
We use music to make us whole, to balance the fractures within ourselves.
I'm nobody. I haven't done anything with my life like you have.
Tell us, what's changed, Arthur?
I'll tell you what's changed. I'm not alone anymore. That's what we should be talking about.
A very powerful trailer. So in that first one, exactly what happens is him doing all those things alone. You even question at times how reliable he is as a narrator and whether or not those things that he saw in his mind actually happened in real life, or whether it was all just going on in his head. But either way, this movie starts with him in prison at Arkham Asylum. And the way they change Harley Quinn's origin story here is she first debuted in Batman the Animated Series back in the 90s. So she didn't even have a comic book origin. She debuted because they needed new characters and Harley Quinn in the show and then later in the comics and later in Suicide Squad. She was a psychologist assigned to Joker, and then he plays all these mind tricks on her to make him fall in love with him. He throws her in a big vat of acid and she becomes Harley Quinn, and then she spends her entire life doing anything that Joker says because he brainwashed her. I really loved Margot Robbie's depiction of her in Suicide Squad and The Suicide Squad. I also really loved the Harley Quinn animated show on Max, which kind of flips the script on the traditional Harley Quinn origin story. And so there is a lot of great source material for Harley Quinn, but it looks like Todd Phillips is focusing on how does he make it work in Arthur Fleck's case. And what he actually does here in the trailer is almost show how Harley Quinn transforms into the crazy character, much like Arthur Fleck did in part one. There are frame for frame examples of the ways they are similar. So one in particular is whenever in this trailer, Lady Gaga puts her fingers up to her head like she's shooting herself in the head. That is the exact same thing that Arthur did in Joker part one. Also in part one, one of the most famous scenes is Joker dancing with himself in a bathroom after committing his first murder. Cut to this one, and instead of dancing by himself, he is now dancing with Harley Quinn. Also, one of the most famous scenes from the first one is whenever he's dancing down the stairs, kicking his legs out. I love the shot in this trailer where now it's both of them going downstairs with a big crowd on either side of them. So it goes from being just him to now having a legit partner in crime. And those are just some of the amazing shots throughout this trailer, which has one of my favorite color palettes with the dark reds, the dark yellows, and that greenish blue. I love the shot where it looks like they're walking out of the prison and you have all these colored umbrellas in that same color palette. Looks amazing. You have Joker at the piano with the spotlight on him and the smoke around his face. There's one scene where he's in this entirely white suit. And then seeing Lady Gaga in the Harley Quinn costume, which isn't the traditional jester costume from the animated show or looks anything like Margot Robbie's costume. It really has that realistic, darker approach to it with very slight makeup instead of having her entire face be pale, which I think works perfectly. And then, of course, as I was mentioning earlier, we get a glimpse of how the musical element is going to be incorporated in the movie. It seems to me that music is almost going to be a coping mechanism. Even the line they mentioned there in the trailer of how we all use music. Think about how much people say that music has saved their lives. It's changed the way they see the world. You can go to a concert and almost have this euphoric experience and you connect with an artist. I think that is what music is going to be in this movie. It is how they keep themselves grounded as they go crazier and crazier. And it's also how they cope with all the awful things they are doing and ruining people's lives and creating chaos around them. It looks to me that they're going to kind of go into a different place in their minds as they are singing and dancing together, because there are shots of those moments where at one point they're on the street dancing, but in their heads, it looks like they're in a big ballroom and looking very fancy and, you know, nice suits and nice dresses. So it seems to be like all those moments are happening inside their head, which somebody who is psychotic and crazy, that's probably what would happen. And that is what Joker and Harley Quinn are. They are not mentally stable. So I think now the musical element makes perfect sense to me now that I can see it, because it looks like they're going to escape from Arkham Asylum together. There's one scene where you see a big explosion and you have them running away from it, holding hands side by side, which I just want to see that chemistry of how they interact with each other and how this movie works with two people who are just so, so crazy. But hands down, the best shot in this trailer is the very final moment whenever Lady Gaga paints this smile with lipstick on the glass. It almost looks like they are almost like in visitation at a prison where Lady Gaga is on one side and Joaquin Phoenix is on the other side. And she paints a smile with lipstick. And then he goes from the other side of having this frown and then gradually just gets a smile and it matches up perfectly Whoever had that idea deserves their own Oscar because it looks so great and is the perfect way to close out this trailer. No official runtime yet, but of course it has that R rating with strong violence, language throughout, some sexuality, and even brief nudity in this one. It is coming out on October 4th, and the movie is going to feature at least 15 reinterpretations of songs. I was also surprised to see how thin Joaquin Phoenix got again for this role, which for part one, he had the famous diet of essentially only eating an apple a day and surviving off that and maybe soup and some steamed vegetables is all he would eat. It really adds to that distressed look of Arthur Fleck. And he was so thin in that movie. And in the first shot of this trailer, I almost thought maybe they CGI'd his body, kind of like they did Captain America when he goes from skinny to muscular. But I think he really did it again. So is he going for another Oscar on this one? That would be really tough. In history, I don't think somebody has won an Oscar for Best Actor or Actress for playing the same character. It is also rare for a sequel to be nominated for Best Picture and win. I think the only thing that has happened is different actors have been nominated for playing the same character because Heath Ledger was also nominated and won for playing the Joker. And there have been similar instances where actors have portrayed the same character, but I don't think there's a win for an actor playing the same character twice and also being nominated and winning. But again, this movie is coming out on October 4th, and I'm going to pre-order my tickets as soon as they're available because this trailer has me hype.
And that was this week's edition of Movie Mike's Trailer Park.
And that is going to do it for another episode here of the podcast. But before I go, I got to give my listeners shout out of the week. And for this shout out, I'm going over to Instagram. And the listener shout out of the week goes to Sweet Eats by V, who tagged me in her Instagram story listening to the best and worst movies of March that I do every single month with Kelsey and said, listening to Mike Diestro's podcast, and I'm 99.9% sure Kelsey mentioned she owns an Evil Queen candle can adult today, adding more reasons why I think she and I would be great friends. And that is true. You heard right. Kelsey is very into candles. And I've also got semi into candles because she loves them so much. So much so that I left my candle burning basically all day at home. And she had to blow it out because I am an idiot. But thank you, Sweets by V. Appreciate you listening and tagging me in your Instagram story. Thank you, everybody, for listening again this week. And until next time, go out and watch good movies. And I will talk to you later.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.